Thank you. My name is Tony Norman. I'm chairman of WPFW Radio, independent radio. And if you've been reading the Washington Post and mainstream media, you know how they feel about taxicab drivers. We have been covering this taxicab issue, and we're going to continue covering it as an independent voice for this area. And that's why we're here with WPFW. It's important that we keep independent media. And that's why we have WPFW. We've been covering this station, your issues. We've been there, and we're going to continue to be there. Taxicab drivers have to stand together. That's what I want to come here and say. Regardless of the association, the organization, what matters is the taxicab. Mr. Price said it right, the taxicab driver. No matter what ethnic or what organization, you as a group need to stand together because that's how you get things done. You did it with the medallion bill, because we covered that, and you can do it with this.
This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and I'm joined by my co-host, Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner Tony Norman, who's chairman of the board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
We opened the show with some of Tony's comments to drivers at a meeting this past week in Tacoma Park. It was organized by the Dominion of DC Professional Taxicab Drivers Association. We'll be turning to a couple more clips from that gathering shortly. But first, I'd like to introduce our guest for the hour, Michelle Chame, who's a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to get both of your opening thoughts, beginning with you, Tony. But first, let me just say that we have announced a couple times here on the Taxi Link that we'd be speaking with a lobbyist from CMT, one of the eight companies to compete for the city's five-year, $35 million taxi smart meter contract, which ultimately went to Verifone. CMT and another company are protesting that contract. Unfortunately, there was a mix-up, and we will be hopefully having the CMT lobbyist on the program next week, and I apologize for having announced this for a couple weeks now. So hopefully we can get that straight. All right, opening remarks, Tony Norman, then Michelle Chame.
Yes, we're starting a new week this week. There's a lot of things that happened this past week. I mean, there was a big taxicab meeting Monday with the Dominion and DC Professional Cab Drivers, well attended. Cab drivers are prepared to take matters into their own hands. We want to give commendations to Mr. Price and Ali and Carolyn, a strong black woman, and all the work that they've done. And that's why I said at their particular meeting, we all need to work together, Small Business Association and all of the taxi cab drivers here in Washington, D.C. And I think we can accomplish great things once we do that.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, chairman of the board of WPFW. And we'll be talking more about WPFW later in the program. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi. Thank you, Pete. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for letting me appear on this show and express my feelings about the status of the industry today. As you all know, my fellow drivers, the industry is being really in a very critical condition. The Taxi Cab Commission is moving fast forward. I mean, going supersonic fast instead of waiting and drafting all the policies and regulations based on the Improvement Act, but it is independently going by itself and it is ahead of everything. So the question is, how do we cope up? We will discuss this later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. This is the Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back. You can go to thefightback.org to find past programs of the Taxi Link. So tell other drivers, tell your friends. If they missed a previous show, they can find it at thefightback.org. We now return to this past week's meeting of the Dominion of DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association. DC Taxi Cab Commissioner Stanley Tapscott challenged drivers to attend more meetings of the Taxi Cab Commission. "We need to pack that place down there," Tapscott said of the commission's hearing room at 1 Judiciary Square. He continued, "If we don't do it, they're going to run over us."
I'm not intending on saying anything. I'm not a good speaker. But things are bad. And the best thing I have seen today is you guys coming out. I have heard, I've been on the commission over 10 years and I'm back on again. Every meeting we have 6, 7, 8, 10 drivers show up at a meeting. And I keep hearing from the chairman, you see, drivers don't care because they don't attend the meetings. You know, where numbers are, there is strength. And that's what we got to do, is have strength. And without strength, we are going down the river. So you guys need to really get together, come to the meeting. We need to pack that place down there. You know, if we don't do it, they're going to run over us and do anything. You got these gentlemen up here fighting for you, working for you, but they need support. There's two things, a couple things I want to say is, I think we've got a good reason to go to the public. I don't think the public is aware that they are going to have to pay 50 cents for each trip that they make in the taxi cab. You're going to have to put up a smart card or $100 a month for that money to come out and go into district government. I think we need to let the public know that they're the ones that's going to be paying for this whole system. I don't think they know it yet. But there's a lot of things that we can do as drivers. We're all drivers. I don't care where we come from, what nationality, what. We are cab drivers.
That was D.C. Taxi Cab Commissioner Stanley Tapscott speaking to drivers this past week at a meeting organized by the Dominion of D.C. Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association. Akin Gump attorney Patrick Scanlon also addressed drivers. Akin Gump is the law firm representing two driver groups, Dominion and D.C. Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, but not the largest driver group, the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. Patrick Scanlon discussed the status of the lawsuit, which has been moved out of federal court and back to D.C. Superior Court, where it was initially filed. Here is some of what Akin Gump attorney Patrick Scanlon had to say.
I was going to come in and just sort of give you a brief overview of where we stand with the litigation that's ongoing. As you know, we filed on behalf of DCPTA in Dominion. We filed a lawsuit against the District of Columbia, Mayor Gray, Chairman Linton, the DCTC in September. A number of things have happened over the past couple months, both in court and out of court, as you know. There has been a rate increase. Whether or not that is the final stop, we hope it isn't, and we're going to fight and make sure it isn't. But things have happened. They're continuing to happen. Unfortunately, things in the courts do move slowly, as most of you all probably know. It is not an overnight process, but you can be certain that we will continue to fight and represent you zealously, both in the courts and outside the courts, to the fullest extent that we can. A decision did come down this morning, actually. Just to correct Ali slightly, we filed the initial lawsuit in D.C. Superior Court. We felt that was the best court for our case to proceed on behalf of the two driver organizations that we represent. For a variety of reasons, not all of which were clear, the defendants, the D.C. government, decided to remove the case to federal court. And so that happened in October, and we've been litigating in federal court since then. The basis for that was one of several federal claims, which were not really part of the main part of the lawsuit. Those federal claims have since been sort of pushed aside in favor of the bigger claims, the functionality of the DCTC, fair representation of the drivers on the commission, and basically a properly operating commission that, you know, represents the public interest as well as the driver interest, and something that an administrative body that operates fairly to get you guys paid as you should be per the letter of the law. And that's what we're fighting for, and those are the important provisions that still remain and complaints that still remain in the lawsuit. Today the judge sent us back to D.C. court, which, you know, I guess it's neither a victory or a defeat. We are happy about it, though. D.C. court is where we wanted to be. Federal court has a lot of other things. They're focused mostly on federal law. Everybody in this room knows that the issue of law before us is the Establishment Act. That's not federal. I mean, that's D.C. law, and that's what we're litigating. So we're back where we started. We're back where we wanted to be, at least in terms of the location. So we will be moving forward, fighting back in D.C. court now instead of federal court, and things are looking well.
That was Akin Gump attorney Patrick Scanlon speaking to drivers this past week at a meeting organized by Dominion of D.C. Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association. Michelle Chame and Tony Norman, can you offer your thoughts on this lawsuit, and can you explain Why the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers, which is far and away the largest driver organization, it's not a part of this lawsuit as I understand it?
Well, originally we were not the members of the Small Business Association, and it was not formed comprising Dominion and DCPTDA. But before the SCBA was formed, professional taxi cab drivers and the Dominion of taxi cab drivers have a retention agreement already with Akin and Gump. Mm. So we are latecomers. However, we work together, and we believe we are still working together. Mm.
Yes, I think it's important that we all work together. They're handling one aspect of it, and the SBA can look at some other aspects of the issues. The SBA has been very strong in terms of the lobbying the council and affecting the legislation that went through. And as for the lawsuit, they may have to start some other legal proceedings with this new legislation, other things that have come out since they filed the lawsuit. That's an opportunity for the SBA and maybe even Dominion's and the present law firm to work together and another attorney to look at injunctions of things that could stop some of this craziness that's going on out here. And that's something that the taxi cab drivers can unify on. And there may very well be some injunction that need to be filed with some of the crazy things that are coming down under the legislation and under this new Verifone contract. Who knows where that's going to go?
And Tony Norman, as an attorney, what's your take on the case being referred back to D.C. court as opposed to federal?
Well, I was kind of surprised that they left the D.C. court in the first place. Why it had any jurisdiction in the federal court? When I first heard that they were leaving D.C. court and going to federal court, that was more of a ploy on the district government part to try to play around with it and get rid of the lawsuit, because the major issues are issues that affect D.C. taxicab drivers, D.C. law and D.C. regulation and the D.C. Taxicab Commission and the non-functioning of the D.C. Taxicab Commission. There might have been one or two side federal issues. So I think it was more of a strategic part on the district government to try to get rid of the lawsuit by switching it over to the federal government on the federal claims, and they hoped that a federal judge would dismiss it altogether, but that didn't happen. Instead, the judge sent it back to D.C. court, which actually is a good move, because now that it's in D.C. court, you can easily file an injunction related to many of the issues that are affecting us with the District of Columbia on the D.C. law and D.C. regulation. You wouldn't have to file a new lawsuit. Since there's a lawsuit pending, the attorneys could easily file an injunction enjoining any of the negative actions that have a very negative effect on the taxicab drivers, such as the vintage and how this new contract is going to go into effect and how it's going to negatively affect the cab drivers. So you can easily get an injunction if you're already in D.C. Superior Court.
And there's a lot of questions. You mentioned the Verifone contract. This was passed with emergency legislation, which is kind of surprising for a $35 million five-year contract.
That's right. They did it on the emergency legislation, which on the law, that means they need 9 votes and they don't have to have a public hearing on it, and it doesn't have to go before Congress. But I think they're going to come back and try to do a permanent legislation. They will have a hearing on it, even though that's sort of putting the cart before the horse. They should have had a hearing on it first, and there was no reason for them to have done an emergency legislation except to try to make sure that this company got the contract. So even that needs to be questioned legally, the process of which the council went through to execute this. And they also need to take a serious look at the Taxicab Commission going to be the authorizing agency that's going to have to monitor and oversee this contract. And as you know, the Taxicab Commission is just basically dysfunctional under this chairman, Dictator Linton, who has just issued a new edict on some craziness of trying to gather information and intimidate taxicab drivers. So a lot of this need to be seriously looked at.
Speaking of that request for made by Chairman Linton, he just put this out there, and he wants a lot of information from the company. He said this is a notice from the Taxi Cab Commission dated July 27th. He says, in preparation for subsequent policy reviews, we are requesting that all taxi cab companies, associations, and limousine companies submit an electronic copy of their vehicle list by August 6th. And the information they want is extensive. The name on the cab, number of the cab, tag number, social security number, EIN, a registered owner. We can go on and on and on. So I think that was the edict that you were referring to.
Yes, that's sort of outrageous because really many of the taxi cab, they already have that information because individual taxi cab drivers provide that information. So why they want associations and other companies to add to that is, to me, it's more of a people need to know what's going on here. It's more of an intimidating, controlling factor. They want to get control of these associations and to intimidate them. That's what this is all about. They're shifting the registration from the motor vehicles to the taxi cab commission. This is about control and to shut up associations and individual taxi cab drivers. So let's see this for what it is.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, an ANC commissioner in Ward 1 by Howard University, chairman of WPFW's local station board and co-host of The Taxi Link. And I'm Pete Tucker, and you can get the past shows of The Taxi Link at thefightback.org. And before we move on to other matters, Michelle, do you want to weigh in on the request made by Chairman Linton for all this information?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, they are moving fast. Look at this. The effective date of this policy change is July 2nd, and which is the policy itself is included in the Improvement Act. But the act itself was voted on July 10th. So that means the act was designed to evolve based on this policy. The policy was done before, ahead of time. Mm. So you can tell what the Taxi Cab Commission is doing behind the scene.
Before we go any further, I'd like to give out three different telephone numbers. So if you're driving, you may want to pull over for a second. First, I'm going to give out the number to listen to the Taxi Link live over your phone. A number of drivers have told us the station signal can go in and out, but that won't happen if you listen over your phone, and I'll give out that number momentarily. I'm also going to give out the number to call into this program, and we're going to be turning the calls later on. And let me take a moment to apologize to those who called in last week and waited for an awful long time, and in two cases, never got to share their comments. We're sorry about that. And lastly, I'll give out the number for the Small Business Association's Taxi Phone Conference, which is held in, it's conducted in Amharic, and it begins directly after this program. There's been confusion with exactly what this phone conference is all about, so let me try and clear things up just a little bit. The phone conference, it's completely separate from this show. While the Taxi Link airs in English and over the radio, the phone conference is just over the phone, and it's conducted in Amharic, which is a language spoken in Ethiopia, where many DC taxi cab drivers are from. If you don't speak Amharic, you probably won't get a lot out of the phone conference, so I hope that clears things up a bit. All right, I'd like to give out those three telephone numbers, beginning with the number to call if you want to listen to the show over your phone, which a number of drivers have said is preferable to listening over the radio, and that number is 832-225-5330, 832-225-5330. I'd also like to give out the number to call into the program if you have a comment or a question you'd like to share, and we'll be going to comments and questions in a bit, so don't call just yet, and that number is 703-534-9878. Again, that's 703-534-9878, and we'll be turning the calls later in the hour. Lastly, I'd like to give out the number for the Amharic Taxi Phone Conference, which begins directly following this broadcast, but it's not on the radio, it's just on the telephone. You can call into it to listen in at 712-432-3100. Again, that's 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465, code 140465. You need to enter that in after dialing, and you'll get put through, and that phone conference takes place in Amharic. Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che was a guest Friday on the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU. Che is chair of the Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation, and she authored the recently passed taxi overhaul legislation. Councilmember Che told Kojo and political analyst Tom Sherwood of NBC4 that it's absolutely necessary that we have a modern 21st century taxicab industry in the District of Columbia.
Well, you know, I think it's absolutely necessary that we have a modern 21st century taxicab industry in the District of Columbia. What it involved was making our taxicab industry equivalent to the best. We want to have basic things that we didn't have in many of the cabs, for example, like credit card machines and GPS, and we want to have the cabs turn over and make sure that they aren't dilapidated and run down. In addition, there are other aspects of the bill that will make, I think, taxi riding safer. We have these panic buttons, I think we're supposed to call them something else now, for drivers in case they are being assaulted or some other issue like that, and safety buttons also for the passengers. The idea was to overhaul the fleet and the operation so that we have, you know, as I said, a world-class system.
That was Councilmember Mary Che appearing Friday on the Kodjo Show on WAMU. Che also discussed Uber, the largely unregulated high-end luxury sedan service that is allowed to compete with taxis in D.C.
I have to figure out, since Uber also wants to move to something beyond the premium service, I understand.
Indeed, they're looking at a hybrid service.
Right.
And it would be less expensive than the premium service.
Right, exactly right. But then I have to ask myself, okay, why do we regulate taxis in the first place? And why should one aspect of it, since it's done via a phone app, be unregulated if what they're doing is basically providing taxi service? Should we separate out, for example, street hails, where you just go out on the street and you don't know what you're getting, so there'd be a greater need for regulating there, from
our
dispatch?
Our producer, Michael Martita, has an experience of trying to street hail a cab and instead having a Uber car offered to transport him.
Well, let's get the name and the license number.
That was Councilmember Mary Che appearing Friday on the Kodjo Show on WAMU with political analyst Tom Sherwood. Che asked, should somebody who's operating a phone app be freed from all regulation?
So I thought, okay, I'll take the Uber stuff out. And then, you know, there was an amendment on the dais to put half of it back in, namely the part that I had in there about, you know, the estimated cost and the receipt, et cetera, but to take out the minimum fare. I said, okay, fine, you know, and I went along with that because, you know, I didn't want to lose the whole bill over that. I went along with that, and that was half of what I had in there anyway. But then I asked, but let's let it exist until the end of the calendar year. Give me time to have a hearing to figure out how we should deal with dispatch services. If I have a taxi company that's dispatching cabs via phone or fax or, you know, text or whatever, why should that be treated differently or regulated more extensively than somebody who's doing the same thing via a phone app? In other words, what's the point of the regulation in the first place? And should somebody who's operating via a phone app be freed from all regulation?
That was Councilmember Mary Che appearing Friday on the Kodjo Show on WAMU. While Kodjo has repeatedly dealt with taxicab issues here in D.C., he rarely has taxicab drivers on as guests. In contrast to WAMU, WPFW 89.3 FM has done a much better job of allowing drivers' voices to be heard. Tony Norman, you're chairman of the local station board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW. I also serve on that board. And I do realize it's a little confusing. Here we are on one station, 1120 AM, and we're talking about another station, WPFW, where you're chair of the board. But talk about the importance of WPFW as well as the significance of what took place this week. We had the privilege of having D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray come on the air and pitch for the station, and we got to join him along with WPFW General Manager John Hughes.
Yeah, that's why we need independent media to cover these issues fairly. That's a good example you just pointed out with Kodjo. He's not had one taxicab driver or even a taxicab representative on his show to even express how this affects the taxicab driver. He's had council members, he's had chair, he had all sorts of industry people, but not one taxicab driver, anyone representing taxicab driver. But we at WPFW have had many drivers to come on and speak. Not only do we have the industry, but we had drivers to come on and speak and express their interests and how this issue affects them directly. That's why it's important to sustain WPFW. That's why we keep bringing up that issue. We are answerable to our stockholders, and our stockholders are our members. That's why we stress you should become a member of WPFW at $25 a year. All taxicab drivers, we'll be at 15th and U today. If you want to come by and do your membership, It's only $25 a year. You become a stakeholder, and we would dedicate all the issues. That's why we had the mayor on. That's why we had our general manager specifically pointing out our concern for taxicab drivers and showing an interest in covering taxicab drivers and their issues. But you can only get that with independent media. And that's why I think the mayor is becoming to really appreciate independent media. That's why he had an opportunity to come on WPFW, because once the other media have taken after him, now he sees the importance of having a place like WPFW to come home to speak independently, speak honestly without being filtered by the mainstream media.
And as Tony mentioned, we'll be at 15th and U at the gas station, just directly following this program. We'll get there by 9:15. Makonnen Abel Siyum, who's with Grand, and he's been doing a lot of work to collect WPFW memberships, and he'll also be there, so come by a little after 9 o'clock to 15th and U, and we'll stay there till 10:30, so come on by and we can continue the conversation. You don't have to come by just for WPFW reasons. You can come by just to say hello. It's great to meet drivers. That's where we get an education about what's really going on. Michelle, do you want to weigh in here before we move on?
Yes, thank you. I would like to say something about the media here. Whatever the Taxi Cab Commission or the interest group are together doing against us or to wipe us out of the street, they use two major, very important mechanisms. Number one is the media. Number two is our own diversity. They ultimately exploit the media, their power and connection through the media to vilify and tarnish our name. They have waged a number of media campaigns against us. We are not against the public interest, but their serpent and venom, poisonous bills and policies and regulations are wrapped with public interest. They portray as we are against public interest, but we are not. But how do we reach the public and how we tell that we are not against the public interest is an unanswered question from us. We have to respond to this. The public has to know this. The public doesn't know about it. Number two is our own diversity. We are not together. We don't get along. We have too many barriers. We couldn't break those barriers. That's why. So it is very important to have our own outlet to reach out not only the public who gets the service from us, but also the world. So I urge everybody to join WPFW. I'm probably one of the first members, and it's what, 10 cents a day. Please join and let us just resound our voice. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. And we're going to turn to a couple of clips from Thursday when the mayor was on. And let me say that I understand that there's drivers are, you know, upset that with the proposals, not just the proposals, but the overhaul that's gone through. And there's a lot of concern and people are upset with the mayor. But let me just say that, you know, I got involved with the taxi cab issue because I started hearing from drivers what was going on. And what I was reading in the media was very different than what I was hearing. And as a reporter, that's very troubling. And so I got involved and it's been an incredible learning experience and a privilege to get involved and learn from drivers and to see issue after issue, drivers' voices excluded is deeply concerning. And I look forward in the years ahead to figure out how to change that. I've also spoken out on the media when it comes to Mayor Gray, because the fact of the matter is that while he's not perfect and while he hasn't done, you know, maybe perfect by way of the drivers, he's not getting fair treatment in the media. Just like taxi cab drivers are not, he's not getting fair treatment. It is qualitatively different than under Adrian Fenty. And so I understand that drivers are upset, but I also understand when the media coverage, when they go crazy on a group of people, or in this case, an individual, it's hard to remain on the sidelines. So I know that's a, I understand there's concern from drivers and I understand, you know, people are angry at Gray. That doesn't, however, necessarily translate into siding with the Washington Post, that he should just be vilified, I think very unfairly. And I think in ways that are very different than anything you saw with Adrian Fenty or that you see with any of the politicians who are put into office by the downtown business elite, Jack Evans, David Catania. They don't get that attacked like that. But those council members who have their support coming from the black community, there's a very different set of standards at play there. Well, I wanted to turn to a clip. Did either of you want to weigh in on that before we turn to the next clip. Yeah, Tony Norman.
I just want to quickly say, yes, we still have to hold the mayor responsible for what he did, but he's beginning to see what it is to get unfair treatment in the mainstream media. And he still has to be held responsible for not doing what he needs to do for the taxicab drivers and the things that he's authorized, because he did appoint this Linton as chairman and all these new commissioners, even though he may not be fully aware, but he still ultimately the buck stops with the mayor. And he's going to have to look and take another second analysis and reanalyze all this stuff once we clear these hornets and vipers and piranhas off of him. Then he'll have time to come back and reanalyze his positions on some of this.
Well, I wanted to turn to a clip from Thursday's broadcast on WPFW. Just prior to Mayor Gray coming on to pitch for the station, we discussed the media's unfair targeting of him. We now go to that clip. We speak with Mayor Gray at a time when the media continues to target him, and a recent Washington Post poll says a majority of district residents think he should resign. But WPFW listeners have a decidedly different take. Callers have overwhelmingly expressed their support for Mayor Gray to stay in office while the legal process plays itself out. Now, callers have raised questions, but they tend to be about the media, and the Washington Post in particular. For example, last month on Community Comment, the question of the day was, should Mayor Gray resign given the developments regarding his electoral campaign? Among those who called in was Santana, who said the Post coverage of Gray has been a little bit hypocritical when compared to the previous mayor, Adrian Fenty. Santana said, you start to wonder why they have continued to go after certain politicians. We go now to that clip.
Yeah, I was calling about the whole situation with Mayor Gray, and I wanted to say that I think that a lot of it is a little bit laughable. You quoted a couple times, what the Washington Post has said, and the Washington Post has been a little bit hypocritical because before, when the other person, Fenty, was in office, everything was okay as long as the ends justified the means. The city has continued to run. He didn't steal any money. This is something that is a campaign finance issue. And you start to wonder, what is the undertone of why they have continued to go after certain politicians? Even with Kwame Brown, it was a banking fraud era in which he paid back the loan. So what are they afraid of? What is the bigger issue at hand? And I just hope people kind of wake up, because once we lose power, we lose it forever. And I think that that's essentially what's happening here in the District of Columbia.
That was Santana, who is among the many WPFW callers who have raised questions surrounding the media coverage Mayor Gray has been subjected to. WPFW Local Station Board Chairman Tony Norman also questioned the media coverage when he spoke at a recent rally organized by Reverends Graylin Hagler of Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ and Willie Wilson of Union Temple Baptist Church. Speaker after speaker at the rally, which was held in front of the John A. Wilson building, said the process should be allowed to play itself out, and calls for the mayor to resign were premature, if not inappropriate. In his remarks, Tony Norman said, we need independent media to cover these stories. He was introduced by Reverend Wilson.
We have an even louder voice in terms of the chairman of WPFW Radio. Going to ask him to just come and have a word this time, then we're ready to close out.
Thank you. My name is Tony Norman. I also chair WPFW Independent Radio, local station board. And I think we need independent media to cover these stories. What we see now is the press doing just one press release, and they're all carrying the same story. I'm also an ANC commissioner, and I know there's a lot of ANC commissioners out here today. Nobody interviewed any of the ANC commissioners. And we're here to say that let this thing play itself out. We heard three council members ask for a resignation. I want these other council members to speak out. You are leaders in this city. We want business leaders to speak out. What is your position? Because if they come after you, you'll be saying the same thing. Let the investigation play itself out. And I want to promote independent media. We are a listener-sponsored radio station. We take no commercial advertisements. Therefore, we can speak. We did a poll on the radio with call-ins. All of our calls supported this mayor. And I want to ask for all independent media, We Act, and all other radio stations, interview independent people. It's time to support independent media.
That was WPFW Local Station Board Chairman Tony Norman speaking at a recent rally in front of the John A. Wilson building. Tony joins us in studio. And Tony, take a moment to further clarify your position. Now, WPFW is a public radio station. It's nonpartisan. It doesn't support or oppose any elected official or candidate. WPFW, like every other media outlet, has a responsibility to be accurate and fair. Now, when other media outlets present a double standard, as numerous WPFW callers have described, the station has a responsibility to call that out. That's not campaigning, that's critiquing the media. And that's precisely the role that independent media is supposed to play. That's why Lou Hill started Pacifica Radio more than 60 years ago, to be the voice of dissent and to challenge the party line. So as chairman of WPFW's local station board, lay out for listeners, Tony Norman, exactly what your position is.
Well, first of all, let me just say I was speaking personally, but I wasn't speaking on behalf of the radio station when I was making those comments. And that was that we need an independent media to analyze this situation, because I think the Washington Post and other major media outlets are just simply regurgitating the same story. The media is sending each other their own press releases and playing it. And they're just, it's an unfair situation here that I think that they were doing, and that's just me commenting personally, unfair with anybody who is in public office should be given an opportunity to have due process and hear their full story.
That was a clip from this Thursday on WPFW when Mayor Gray joined Tony Norman, myself, and WPFW General Manager John Hughes in studio to pitch for the station. We're going to go to one more clip, but first I want to give out the number to call for folks who have a comment, question. You call into the taxi link here, and that number is 703-534-9878, and we'll be going to calls in just a moment. Again, that number is 703-534-9878, and I guess one of the things we need to talk about, I just remembered, Michelle, is an August 19th general meeting. So after we play this last clip, I'll be asking you about that, as well as going to the phones. So I asked Mayor Gray when he was on why he decided to get into politics after a career working in social services. Mayor Gray, one of the things that my mom finds inspiring is that you didn't get into politics right away. It was after a long career in social services, homeless mm-hmm. youth, working with adults with developmental disabilities. What made you take that step? Why did you leave what you were doing and enter into the political arena?
Well, you know, simply put, there were people who asked me to do it. You know, when I was in Ward 7, I lived in Ward 7 for many years. Folks wanted to see an increased level of activism, an increased level of engagement, and came to me and asked me to run. And I was at the time working at Covenant House. And, you know, I ultimately decided to do it. And I even said at the time, even though, you know, those ward member jobs, all but the chair, they're all considered part-time. And I said to folks, I said, I love the job that I have working at Covenant House, but I think out of respect for this position, I'm going to leave Covenant House if I'm successful in being elected, because I think this job as a council member deserves, you know, the full-time active engagement of a member. So I left the job I loved to do this, and have, you know, in one way or the other, worked with Ward 7 ever since. But now I get a chance as council chair and now as mayor to be able to work with the entire city. I think, Pete, it really gave me an opportunity also to continue to do the kinds of things that I've done all my life. And that is, I love helping people. I love helping people get to another place. Love to see a child get a good education or health care available to folks. Love to be able to, you know, get people back to work. Those are all ways of helping people, and the job that I have now and the one before it are ways of enabling that to happen.
That was D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray appearing on WPFW 89.3 FM this Thursday with WPFW General Manager John Hughes, WPFW Local Station Board Chairman Tony Norman, and myself. This is The Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, and you can go to thefightback.org, all one word, thefightback.org. If you want to check out past shows of The Taxi Link, I'm joined in studio by Michelle Chame, who is a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, and by my co-host Tony Norman, ANC Commissioner and Chair of WPFW's Local Station Board. Michelle, I do want to get to the August 19th meeting, but I also want to get to our caller who's waiting on the line. And again, if other folks want to call in, 703-534-9878. Caller, welcome to The Taxi Link.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, sir. I have 3 points to make. The first one is, as we heard on the radio right now, Mayor Gray, he said he is He's helping people. He wants people back to jobs. And according to his statement, it is what he used to do. He has a nice heart. He's a good man. So if that's the case now, when this bill passed, the modernization bill, he has still, it is in his hand, he can veto it at this time. So if he has, he sympathizes with cab drivers, if he want to work with cab drivers, as you guys said last week, why not he veto it? And my second point is also with regard to Mr. Linton, he's also working with Mr. Linton. So as is described, we are being intimidated. So why not he still communicate with him and do all possible for our safety? The third point I'm trying to make is either SBA or other taxi cab association, they have a lot of options to enforce not to be implemented this law. One of it is demonstration. Why don't they call us for demonstration every time they are following something a submissive way? If we stop working one night or one morning or like that in a patterned way, at that time we can pass our message to the general public. So why we only try to negotiate or only like that? Why they only say we have to be nice people? So this is what I try to comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think there were 3 points that I got there. So we can go through those one at a time. First, with regards to Mayor Gray, I think, and Tony can speak, and Michelle can speak for themselves, of course. My point, you know, whether Mayor Gray does or doesn't work with taxi cab drivers, obviously I think it would be beneficial and fair that the taxi cab drivers get done justice to them. The reason that the point that I'm trying to raise, though, is that just because, even if he doesn't help out drivers, and he should help out drivers, it still is not fair what the Washington Post is doing to him. He's not corrupt just because the Washington Post says so. You know, Mayor Gray's biggest problem isn't a shadow campaign. It's a successful campaign. He beat Adrian Fenty, and the Post backed Adrian Fenty to the hilt. And so I just want to point out that the Post has been unfair. The media has been unfair. And separately, Mayor Gray could do a lot more. And the second point you raised is Chairman Linton. So maybe we can speak to those together. Linton has been no friend to taxi cab drivers, has not been willing to listen and learn, and has been highly problematic. So we can touch on both Mayor Gray and Chairman Linton, and we also will get to your third point. And thanks for the call.
Well, just quickly, it's this unfair treatment of the mayor, but the mayor still has to be held accountable for what he's not doing for the taxi cab drivers. In fact, this movement against taxi cab drivers started before he was mayor. It started even before Fenty. And it's the industry that's trying to take over, and they're manipulating the system and corrupting and trying to persuade all of the mayors. So the mayor needs to understand that that's what's been going on, and it's going to affect the next mayor, whoever that is, whether it's be Gray or not. So we want to hold him responsible, but also we also want to look at a deeper, more fundamental level, that we need to stand together when the major media disrespects anyone, be it taxi cab driver, a council member, or the mayor. We all need to stand together. That's why we need independent media, WPFW. That is why we keep stressing that point.
Michelle?
Well, regarding the media portraying the mayor, it is not unusual. If you are familiar with the Washington Post, known columnist Petula Drovac, she is the one who called us pungent, openly expressing her racism. Number two, recently Mike DeBoyne said that the mastermind of this Smart Chips initiative was Ron Linton. But this Smart Chips initiative came 3 years before Ron Linton came into office. They are not number one investigative, inquisitive. They don't attempt to find the truth and to approach all parties, but they are just blowing talks and hearsays for around the person or the politician they support. That is the truth. Number two, regarding the mayor is, as Tony said, he is ultimately responsible for everything what is happening under his administration. However, there are clouds which we see. He is surrounded by institutional mafia, which are remnants of the previous administration, and interest groups. This all has to be considered.
And the last point that the caller made, and again, the number to call, the phone lines are open for folks who want to call in. Again, I apologize to the folks last week that weren't able to get through. The number to call is 703-534-9878. And the last call was about why drive organizations like the Small Business Association aren't holding more protests. And I think the call was for a strike of some sort. So do y'all want to jump at that, Tony Norman?
Oh, I think the cab drivers, that's up to the drivers. They do have to do much more radical actions. I mean, you have to be in their face. And what that action is, that's up to the drivers ultimately. And I think the Small Business Association, that's why they're having a big meeting to consider things like that and bring taxicab drivers up to date August the
19th.
So you'll get more information on that. But I totally agree with that. But action has to come from the drivers to want to do that. And I think those sort of things, it's probably time to start looking at doing things, strikes or what have you, or peaceful protests.
Michelle, August 19th, general meeting. You can also comment on the role of demonstrations. And we should also point out that the reason that you had changes made to the bill was the result. This came directly after back-to-back major protests, 200 drivers each. Each of these days. And a lot of drivers will say, well, that's just not enough. Well, okay, so next time, you know, people can roll up their sleeves and figure out how to that to be more. But for a lot of people who've done organizing, that's not an insignificant number. In fact, I was with the labor organizer who showed up at one of the protests, and she was blown away by the numbers. And so once those numbers showed up, then you had major changes to the bill that are going to have a lasting impact for drivers. Is that everything that was wanted? No. But a lot of drivers did show up and did roll up their sleeves, and the Small Business Association was able to make some major changes. But, Michelle, the role of demonstrations.
Well, the struggle requires different approaches and different strategies. We have attempted all our options, surveyed all our options, and attempted all the actions we decided to act upon. One is lobbying, the other one is political campaign, the rest one is lawsuit, and there are too many other options remaining. So we are still surveying. We have called a major meeting on the 19th, and we will announce the time and the place of the meeting. Please watch our flyers coming soon, and we will let everybody know. Thank you.
Sunday, August 19th?
Yes.
We will look for those flyers and that information. We will definitely give it out here on the Taxi Link, and we will go to the calls with a couple phone lines open. We do have a caller on the line, and the number again, 703-534-9878. Caller, welcome to the Taxi Link.
Hello?
Hello, welcome. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you very much. We have differences with the mayor, but those differences could be rectified. He should stand for justice, because injustice is being done to us. Because just in the case of the panic button, that is like the worst kind of abuse you can have. Any drunk driver, any drunk passenger could touch the button and stop our business. And little children could touch it and stop our business. It's just the worst kind of injustice one can do to somebody else. There are other articles in the new legislation, and this is totally wrong, and the mayor should have a way to stop it. But we have to be with the mayor, because injustice is also being done to him. We shouldn't accept injustice to anybody, let alone a mayor we worked hard to get elected. This person is a very decent person, and he, once he understands the situation clearly, I think he can change his position and rectify the wrong done to us. Besides that, what I want to say is WPFW is a real public station. It is an independent medium, and we need to be with WPFW. $25 a year is something easy, and we should be with WPFW. And also, we have to unite among ourselves. Dominion and other groups, we all need to unite. I was at the Taxi Cab Commission last week to renew my license last Monday. That's why I didn't show up. With all I can do, I will be with Dominion. I will be with the professional. I will be with the Small Business Association. We all need to unite. And unite once we are. United once we are, we will win. Once we are divided, kept apart, we will fall. This is our livelihood. We need to unite and have WPFW on our side. It is very important we have WPFW on our side. I am already a member, and I have been enjoying WPFW and arguing for the taxi cab business for a long time. I know it. I'm telling you from experience, you will enjoy WPFW. It is an independent, open to the public. We cannot get anything better than WPFW in the media. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We can take those 3 points quickly. We have another caller, but we'll begin with the last one with WPFW. Again, folks can come on down to 15th and U directly following the show. We'll be down there by 9:15 and talk about any issue. Love to see drivers, and as well, anyone wants to become a member of WPFW. Also, I touched on Mayor Gray once again, as well as the panic button being an injustice that's going to lead to a lot of headaches for drivers, as drunken passengers, or he mentioned children, just hitting this button, and that's going to slow up drivers' work and lead to a lot of headaches.
Just want to quickly say, yes, that's why, once again, we'll be at 15th and U. You can bring your memberships there from 9:15. That's why you have to be a stakeholder in WPFW. But quickly about the panic button, it reminds me of Linton talking about taxi cab drivers beating up passengers. That's why we need it. This is absurd. One of the things we want to put pressure on the mayor to do is he needs to let this Linton go. Linton does not need to be chair of the taxi cab. This man has nothing but contempt. He looks down on taxi cab drivers. He looks down on foreigners, taxi cab drivers. So this is a guy that does not need to be chair of the commission.
Michelle, do you want to weigh in? We can go to the next call. Okay, we'll go to the next call. And also, I think Tony made a very good point earlier on about, you know, Mayor Gray needing to be held accountable. Absolutely, he needs to be held accountable. And just so does the media. There's no one really holding the media accountable. All power structure, and I think there's a huge power structure in the media that is largely unaccountable. All of them, they all need to be held accountable. We have another caller, and then after that, we got phone lines open. So 703-534-9878. We might be able to get one or two more calls as we come up on 8:30. So caller, welcome to the Taxi Link.
Hello, this is, my name is Vernon Humbles.
Hey, Vernon.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
This is Washingtonian 23. My question is, do either of you know the status of the companies that lost the bid for this contract? Are they planning to sue? I think that might be our best option to stop this. What do you think?
So, Vernon, we've been trying, and let me say that I really hope next week, because we've been trying and just through complications haven't gotten the lobbyist for CMT, which is one of those companies that is a competitor to Verifone, to come on the show and explain everything that's going on. They have filed a protest of that contract, that $35 million 5-year contract with Verifone, and that protest means that it's going to be held up and reviewed for, I think it's a couple of weeks, and then the district will rule on exactly where things stand. But hopefully next week we'll get the lobbyist on himself, and we'll have better information exactly where we're at on that front.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vernon Humbles. Any other comments, Tony, Michelle?
Just to say, yes, there has been a formal protest filed, and hopefully they'll take it to the next level. This has delayed the contract somewhat. So I think there's some valid points and some valid, legitimate points in their protest. So that at least that slows this from being instituted for the time being.
And I just want to thank Vernon Humbles and the others who have called in. I mean, for example, Vernon is just constantly at meetings, and it's that constant presence that I think is so important, and I think that really opens doors just by constantly being there. So I just want to give out a shout to for all the great activism that Vernon and so many others are involved in. We have a couple more calls on the line, so caller, welcome to the Taxi Link.
Hello?
Yes, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Mr. Tadesse. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm fine. Yeah, my thing is, you know, we have been talking about the new Verifone equipment, which also carries this so-called panic button. And I was at the meeting when Mr. Linton was talking about it for the first time at the DC Council. And then the reason why he said this equipment, this button, panic button, is important is he declared that up to 7 to 8 women had been attacked by taxi drivers in Washington. What my question is, can we hold him accountable for making this statement without any police records, without any court records, defaming very, very hardworking and servicing the city? You know, I don't know where this is going to. Are we going to hold him accountable for this? Does he have any police record or any court record, or can he just, as the chairman of this commission, can he really make this statement? This is worse than the third world dictatorship that most of drivers in this industry have endured. Well, and that's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to ask.
Well, thank you so much. And let me say that when Chairman Linton made those comments to ABC7, I think it was, I called his office and asked for an answer, and it was very, very difficult. And it took a number of calls. And finally, you're right, he said 7 or 8 women had been abused. And so I asked for the police records, and finally, after a couple calls, got some numbers. So I went down to the police station and got the files that they had told me about. There were a total of 4 files. 2 were for women, 2 were for men, 1 for a hack inspector, another for an official that's had run-ins with the law. So a total of what he said, 7 or 8 women, we were able to find 2 cases. These were not convictions, but police reports that were filed. And it's highly problematic. And we need to find a way to hold them accountable, because just making those statements and disparaging an entire industry of, as you're saying, hardworking people is unacceptable. And we have to keep raising that issue, and I'm glad you raised it here tonight and keep figuring out, you know, what evidence did he have for making those statements? I wasn't able to find any, and I looked pretty hard. I wasn't able to find any evidence to back up that statement.
This is just some of the outrageous behavior of Linton. We have some close to 8,000 taxi cab drivers, if you look at all the complaints, and he's going to go on the local news and say taxi cab drivers are beating up women and can't even verify those 5 or 6 or 7 that he says that they did. This is just the outrageous contempt that Linton has for taxi cab drivers. He was just pushing his legislation to get that panic button. I mean, he has nothing but contempt for taxi cab drivers. He even stated he doesn't want taxi cab drivers even on the taxi cab commission. But this is just part of the outrageous behavior. And I don't even think he's that familiar with taxi cab industry and the issues dealing with the taxi cab. He's being fed all of this information from the big taxi cab companies. So this is just part of his outrageous behavior.
I want to remind folks again that Sunday, August 19th, there'll be a general meeting. That's a couple Sundays from now, and we'll talk more about that next week. And we're coming up on the end, so I think we'll no calls on the line, so I think we'll finish up here and get final thoughts. Of course, we'll be back next Saturday, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. here on WST 1120 a.m. And let me thank Will Martin, who is working with the Small Business Association and put out the with Ermias Wilsenu, the DC Taxi Link, which you can pick up. It's got a lot of good information. There's a new edition out as well. And I also want to thank Mark Taylor for engineering. Always does an excellent job, a real professional. So thank you, Mark Taylor. Michelle Chame, let me get your final thoughts, and then we'll get final thoughts from Tony Norman.
Well, we urge every driver at least to participate at this point. We are at a very critical juncture. We have to deploy every possible power, legal power we have at this point. We urge you to contact your council members who those of you who reside in Washington, D.C., the rest of you who reside in the other jurisdictions, the so-called COG or Council of Governments Metropolitan Area, please approach your representatives of your constituents and tell them this is something that requires a federal investigation and a congressional probe. So they are taking us out of the street already before, as I told you earlier, before July 10. This bill was voted. On July 2nd, there was a policy which get out that prohibits every driver who is coming from out of the District of Columbia, whether you live in Maryland or in Virginia, you cannot renew your tag, you cannot get a new license plate, and they have already closed it. So we urge you to organize and fight. And please, as we mentioned earlier, we have a meeting on August 19. We will let you know the time and the place in the following days. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle Chame, who is a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Tony Norman, your final thoughts.
Final thought. I know Michelle mentioned that we have to use all options, and that's very true. With the legal options, the lobbying options. But if I had to pick one that's more important, that's more critical, that option that we use is to educate the driver and the general public. Organize the driver and the general public. That is the most important option because that will drive all the other options. That's why we have to appeal to the community people, appeal to the ANCs, appeal to the civic association, and appeal to the average driver. If we continue to do that, it is a constant campaign. That is the more important issue. That's why we need mediums like this radio stations and WPFW, because once we educate the public like we did on the medallion bill, that will change the politicians, that will change the mayor, that will change the Congress. So I would stress, organize the driver, organize the average person in the community. That is the key. That is the key.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, ANC Commissioner in Ward 1, co-host of the Taxi Link and chair of WPFW's local station board. And we are coming to a close, and we are heading down to 15th and U Streets Northwest. Any drivers that are nearby, come on and check us out. And the Amharic phone conference is coming up right now. And again, the number to call, and that's a phone conference, takes place in Amharic, and it's going to start now. And that number is 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. This will all be posted at thefightback.org. I'm Pete Tucker. Tune in next week. Again, thanks to Mark Taylor for engineering, and we'll get you back next week. Peace.